thing that looks like the summer is a little bit more difficult, right? And so that you can engage me in the relationship, maybe what God is saying to you a little bit, right? And so we can be, not to make it wrong, but something very instructive in many ways. This reading that we have from the Hebrew scripture speaks about the wisdom of Solomon. We all know the wisdom of Solomon. We all know, really, that enigmatic story in which Solomon is asked to decide whose child this is. And he does it with great wisdom. And the woman says, no, don't kill my child. And so but here we get the beginning of how God asks Solomon, ask me for anything. And so what Solomon asks for is wisdom. He has to be able to make decisions. And so God not only gives him that, but he says there is none that went before you, and there is none that will come after you. And so philosophy in the Greek is this love of wisdom that we grow into. And then we hear in the responsorial song that to follow God's commandments is part of the beginning of wisdom for us, right? And so that in many, many ways, the Torah, which it translates into the law, becomes for us and the people of the Hebrews how we can best gain the wisdom of God by following what God asks us to do. And then I think it's interesting that Paul, and I love this letter to the Romans, especially this piece. Next week we're going to hear from the letter of Romans how people will preview about how nothing can separate us from the love of God. But in this reading from Hebrews, which goes before that, we hear how the law of God, which has always been love, right? Even in the Ten Commandments, even in the way that our brothers and sisters have maybe understood it, maybe they lost the way a little bit, but at the heart of the law, in Leviticus, even in the holiness code, is that the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, and your whole mind, and your whole soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus takes that summation of the law and moves it forward to us, and Paul reiterates it, right? To those who love God, all things work to the good. And so that it is love that moves us. It is love that moves us with the wisdom to allow all things to work for the good. It is love in its many attributes that Paul tells us in Corinthians, that it's always patient, it's always kind, it's never jealous. Those of us who are in long-term relationships, we know that's true, right? We're never jealous. We're never, right? None of that, right? We know that we're always thinking of the other. We have a couple of years about to be married, so we should probably be good examples for them, right? So in that way. But Paul reminds us that it is this love that transforms us and moves us and gives us the wisdom to compromise sometimes, gives the wisdom to keep quiet sometimes, gives us the wisdom sometimes to let the other be right. It's a very practical message, right? So that to those who love God, all things work for the good. And that God, who chose us all, predestined for us to move in this love. This notion of predestination is intended for all of us, not just some of us. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, we've heard for the last three Sundays a series of seven parables. The kingdom of God is light. The kingdom of God is light. The kingdom of God is light. All of this was a teaching method that the rabbis used in Jesus' time. Jesus was speaking to people who would have known what he meant by this. And he says to them, do you understand what I'm saying? And they get it. At some level, they get it. I think in our times, because we don't live in that moment in history, that we might lose a little bit of it. But nonetheless, what Jesus is talking about, and he says it much more clearly later in Matthew, he says, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And he's saying that to the people that these are people who have been familiar with the law. These are people who have known the Torah inside and out. These are people who daily would have heard it proclaimed in the temple. And so Jesus gives us this example of a man who finds a treasure, right? And the treasure's in the field. He doesn't own the field, so he can't take the treasure. So he goes and he sells all that he has so he can buy the field. And then the field and what's in it belongs to him. And then the kingdom of God then is like a merchant who's looking for fine pearls. And he finds one at great price, right? And he sacrifices all. It is with great joy that people do this, right? It is with great joy. And I think that maybe that's what Paul, and that's what the reading from the Old Testament is talking about, is where is our experience of joy in this finding God anew in our lives almost every day, right? Right before we had Mass, I always had a class with our novices and our formation community. And one of our new postulants said, he doesn't find much joy in what we're doing. right? And so Francis was all about joy. Francis, he would play the air violin, and he would, I'm not always sure that today we would necessarily see him as the most mentally healthy, but in those days, but he was all about the joy of the freedom in experiencing his love of God. And so the one of the brothers said that there wasn't much joy in what we're doing, and I thought about that sometimes, right? That I find some joy. I hope that what brings you back here is that you find some joy, right? Not joy in that we're always laughing uproariously, right? But maybe some sense of peace. And so what flows from peace is our ability to be joyful, our ability to relax with ourselves, our ability to relax with others. Maybe there's some joy in when we come here on Sundays and we spend some time with each other, that as a result of that, we move towards what God is genuinely calling us to. To our own authenticity, and so that we find some energy in how this joy moves us in that direction. And so when I was reading the scripture, I was thinking about this man who's often sells everything with great joy. I did that when I became a friar. I went, I sold everything I had, and I gave to the poor. Right? I don't know that I did it joyfully, but I'm also glad that I only was asked to do it once. I'm not sure I'll do it again. Right? But in many ways. When we do that, right, there is some joy in letting go of all of that. So maybe when we come here on Sundays, even on these hot Sundays in July and August, maybe what we do for a moment is we let go of all of those things that feel like they burden us down, all of those things that maybe just detract us from the joy in our life, detract us from each other. Maybe we let go of some of the worries and anxieties, and maybe for 45 minutes we come in this place and we find some peace. Maybe we find some wisdom that we can take with us that carries us through the week. Maybe for a moment we experience this love of God that has always been what moves us in our life, but which has always been that has a power to transform who we are. In the commentary in your little missalette, the question is asked, and I think it's true. It asks, do you remember the first time you fell in love? And do you remember maybe the first time that you felt deeply loved by another? And do you remember that? I don't know if you can. I can, right? And what I remember about that, and maybe what we can remember about that, is that's what Jesus is saying to his hearers. What is it that you love? What is it that you're willing to give everything for? What is it? What is the treasure of your life that when you find it, nothing else matters? Because it becomes then a very practical dimension of our life. Because in that experience of falling in love, or the experience of having been loved truly for who we are for the very first time, it decides everything in our life. It decides everything. Pedro Alupe, who was the former superior general of the Jesuits, who has the singular honor of being asked to resign by the Pope because he really spoke from a place of his conscience. And was a tremendously courageous man at a time in the church when courage wasn't always was acknowledged. And so the only Jesuit who was asked to step down, and he did it very graciously. But he said to us, and I think this is so true, and this is maybe what Jesus is asking us. He said that the most practical thing that we could ever do is fall in love. And what he meant is to fall in love with God, because when we fall in love, it decides everything for us. It decides what gets us out of bed in the morning. It decides what we read. It decides who we spend our time with. It decides our joys and our sorrows. It decides everything for us. And so Jesus, in these parables, and the people who were hearing him just like you and I, they would know what he meant. Each one of them would have the experience of having something precious beyond words in their own life, and that they would have sold and done anything for that thing. Jesus is asking us, right? To find what that is, and to hopefully find that in the experience of God's all-inclusive love for you and I. That there is nothing in this experience of God's love that says to us, don't come here, stay away from me. Don't, there's nothing. It's all an invitation to grow. It's all an invitation to find that treasure that will decide everything for us. So let's continue then as we celebrate our Mass, knowing that this sacrifice of the altar that God gave us in his Son, is that love that decided everything for Christ. His love for us decided everything. Everything that he did, every word that came from his mouth, he decided everything for him. And you and I, by our virtue of being here on this very hot July, we maybe that's some recognition that we'd like to grow in that image of this love that God has given us in the person of His Son. So let's continue to read the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.